Therefore, it is my position as the incoming sheriff of Bedford County that many of the gun control mandates being pushed by the governor's office are unenforceable as they violate the constitutional guarantees afforded to all citizens of this country in the aspects of our Second and our Fourth Amendments. Recommended measures put the lives of our law enforcement officers in greater peril than they have already been, and I am unwilling to do that based on mandates that have yet to be measured against this country's constitutional guarantees. This agency will not be part to the violation of infringements upon or our community's individual rights as it pertains to the United States Constitution. I, along with all of my deputies, take an oath to support and defend our Constitution, and that is exactly what we are going to do. For you.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Radio Free Virginia. I'm your host, Hank Reardon. Just got back from a really nice dinner with my family. My son, he turned 13 today. 13 years old. And now I have two teenagers in the house. So, that's all right. You know, look at it this way. I can teach them more about shooting, more about getting out in the woods, more about getting outdoors. That's fine. So we're coming to you from the Central Command Center, this radio show for patriots in Virginia, behind enemy lines. And we're going to talk about Second Amendment sanctuaries tonight. So tonight, you're going to learn about the Second Amendment sanctuary county movement, what they are, where they are, how many we have now, who's leading the movement, what the resolutions look like, and are they and will they work? And this is important stuff. You should care about it because it's your right to self-defense, your right to fight tyranny, and the duty that all Virginia patriots have to fight it. What are they? What are Second Amendment sanctuary counties? Well, it's one where a county has passed a resolution or ordinance in some way declaring support for the Second Amendment and opposition to the tyranny of Richmond. They fall all over the spectrum from weak to strong, and hopefully, what I'm starting to see is getting stronger. This has happened so fast that nobody has really gotten to take hold of what's going on. The military has a term called the OODA loop, O-O-D-A. It's observe, orient, decide, and act. Your brain is constantly revolving and doing this OODA loop everywhere you go, especially, let's just use driving as an example. You're driving down the road, you observe a person driving stupid, you orient towards that person, you decide, do I need to stop or avoid that person? And then you act on that. Constantly decision matrix happening inside your head. We got inside the left's OODA loop with this movement, and we'd like to keep that momentum going. The problem as I see it, some of these Second Amendment sanctuary county ordinances or resolutions, there's no teeth to them. And I'll talk more about that in a little bit here. But let's keep looking at this. So you have some that are weak to strong. Some have fancy words to say, we will support the Second Amendment. Others restrict the use of county funds to be used to enforce these new laws that the communists are proposing. And some are calling up the militia. And several sheriffs have said they will not enforce these laws, as you heard, or will deputize citizens in the county to avoid them, and lots of other options are being floated. The freebeacon.com, I don't know anything about it, this is where I just did an internet search and I was looking for articles, and this one came across, I read this one, I thought it was interesting. This is from November 27th. So let's see, what's a week and a half, a couple weeks ago? The head of the group pushing Virginia counties to refuse to enforce unconstitutional gun laws, declaring themselves Second Amendment sanctuaries, told the Washington Free Beacon he has seen an unprecedented groundswell of support that he expects to only grow. When Virginia Citizens Defense League, VCDL, President Philip Van Cleef spoke to the Free Beacon on Tuesday afternoon, 15 of Virginia's 95 counties had passed sanctuary resolutions. 5 more joined that night. I've never seen anything like this, and I've been doing this for over 20 years, he told the Free Beacon. It's a sleeping giant that has been pretty much not paying attention to politics. And now they're awake. And now they're flooding these sanctuary county hearings. Flooding them. If every county in the state adopted the sanctuary policy, it would remain important to block potential gun control laws from passing through the state legislature. VCDL now plans to focus on activating its members who live in Democratic districts with the intention of trying to persuade Democratic lawmakers whom VCDL has not relied on when Republicans control the legislature. And this is really important. We have to make sure these bills don't make it into law, he said. So who's leading this movement? Well, the VCDL is, the Virginia Citizens Defense League, which I mentioned last week, and I highly recommend you go there. www.vcdlvictorcharliedeltalima.org, vcdl.org. Go to their website. Tons of good information there. Not a lot, but I'd say 30% of what I pulled for this in research was from their website. They're doing a great job, and they deserve our support. I do have some caveats to that I'll be talking about in a little bit. So the VCDL is the strongest force for gun rights in Virginia, and it has been for a long time. But because of all this, because of the lack of teeth, another organization popped up called the Gun Owners of Virginia, gunownersofvirginia.org, with a much stronger resolution. And I'll be talking about that resolution specifically. So when you look at these, you have two things going on here, two real resolutions. You have some flavors of it everywhere, but it's ultimately either weak or strong. And at the moment, the majority of the counties that have passed this, it's kind of a, this is my opinion, okay? So take it for what it's worth. They're weak. And they're weak because there's no force behind them. Now, some of the ones like that just passed Bedford, are a little better because they actually have in there that you're not going to use county funds for this and you're not going to use them for that and stuff. That's great. That's absolutely perfect. You know, Bedford's a good example too because your sheriff, Bedford sheriff has said, I'm not going to enforce these. I'm not going to endanger my deputies' lives. We're not doing this. We'll see how much that holds and what that means, what these is, kind of that definition of what's your definition of is. I don't know. So let's look at how many are we up to now. So this is from VCDL's homepage. And if you go right on the homepage, you can find this about halfway down. Since November 6th, 95 counties. 95 counties and some towns. I'll just say counties. So if you're listening from outside of Virginia, or even if you are in Virginia, you don't understand how it works. We have counties, towns, and cities. Ultimately, even if so if you hear something, Lynchburg City. Well, Lynchburg City is massive. It's the size of a county. So it's really a county. But because they call themselves a city, they get other freebies from the state, the federal government, lots of other things like that. Before I go into the list, let me play some audio here. This is from the Bedford hearing. Take a listen.
I own an AR-15. Why did I buy it? Not to protect my home. Not to hunt. I bought it to protect my family against government tyranny. Yes. That's why I own that gun. And I want to say this to every citizen of Bedford County. If you get word that the state's coming to you for your guns, I guarantee you most of the people in this room will say what I'm saying now. We will stand with you to make sure that that does not happen. God bless the U.S. Constitution, and God bless Trump.
That was Jim McKelvey, and he's right. The purpose of the guns that I have is to fight tyranny. The bonus with those is to hunt if I so choose or to defend my life. The concept that you would need to, for the founding fathers, this is just a ludicrous idea. And the leftists, they believe this. The idea that you would in some way have to write down on paper and say, yeah, you have the right to put food on your table. You have a right to not have somebody kill you. That's silly. That's one of the oldest rights ever. You didn't need to put that on paper. They put that on paper because they just fought a war overthrowing tyranny. And they wanted to make sure that a method, a means that the people would have at their disposal to do it again if they had to. And if you read the writings of the founding fathers, Thomas Jefferson and others, but especially Thomas Jefferson, the tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. It is its natural manure. He believed, and they believed, that this is going to have to happen a couple times, probably every few years, because that's just the nature of man to step on the neck of his neighbor. So good for Jim for standing up at that meeting and saying that. He's spot on. He's right. Next clip I want to share with you before we get into the list of counties that have done this is Yvette Bronx. And I think this was in Orange, Virginia. I tried to trace down where it was from, but I think that's where it was. So here you go.
What part of shall not be infringed do they not understand? Just because a bill is passed and is made legal doesn't make it lawful. We have a moral obligation to our posterity to ignore unlawful acts and to fight tyranny. I have but one lamp by which my feet are guided, and that is the lamp of experience. I know of no way of judging the future but by the past, and that lamp will never allow me to forget the unarmed victims of Hitler, Stalin, Mao, and the many other victims of less famous tyrants throughout the world. And in case he's watching, Attorney General, although you think that you will be able to bully us into compliance by falsely labeling us felons, may I remind you and every oath taker of the oath you swore, you are public servants and we are your employers with a moral duty and obligation to refuse and fight tyranny. Let us not forget that the people who hid Anne Frank were breaking the law and the people who killed her were following it. Thank you.
Powerful words from Yvette Bronx. I love that last line about Anne Frank and the people that killed her. They were following the law. And the people that were hiding her, they were breaking the law. It's just an outstanding illustration from history about the necessity of disobedience sometimes. I think the duty of disobedience when you have something as awful as that. And that's ultimately what we're trying to prevent. We don't want to see that again. We know history has taught us that as soon as we give up the guns, shortly after, we're the ones that are getting put into boxcars and sent off somewhere. So thanks, but no thanks. So let's look at the list. Here it is. These counties, 95 counties. It's a long list. This is pretty cool. Allegheny, Amherst, Appomattox, Augusta, Bath, Bedford, Big Stone Gap, Bland, Bluefield, Botetourt, Bristol, Brunswick, Buchanan, Buckingham, Campbell, Caroline, Carroll, Charlotte, Chesapeake, Colonial Heights, Craig, Crewe, Culpeper County, Cumberland, Dickerson, Dinwiddie, Town of Exmoor, Floyd, Fluvanna County, Franklin City, Frederick, Galax, Giles, Gloucester, Goochland, Grayson, Greene, Greensville, Town of Grottoes, Halifax, Hanover, Henrico, Henry, Isle of Wight, James City, King and Queen, King George, King William, Lancaster, Lee, Louisa, Lunenburg, Madison, Martinsville, Mecklenburg County, Middlesex, Mineral, Nelson, New Kent, Northampton, Northumberland, Norton, Nottoway, Orange, Page, Patrick, Pittsylvania, Pocosin, Powhatan, Prince George, Prince William, Rappahannock, Richmond County, Roanoke County, Rockbridge, Rockingham, Rocky Mount, Rural Retreat, Russell, Scott, Shenandoah, Smith, Southampton, Spotsylvania, Strasburg, Surrey, Sussex, Tazewell County, Warren, Washington, Westmoreland, Wise, Wythe. That's a nice, big, long list of counties that have stood up to Richmond, stood up to these commie rats and said, nope. Not going to do it. And what will be interesting to see is how this all plays out. More on that topic is coming in a second. Let's hear from my favorite person, Herbert Philbrick.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Herbert A. Philbrick.
What is communism? I've been on the inside of communism. I still have contacts. From this knowledge, I tell you as simply and seriously as I know how. Communism is a lying, dirty, shrewd, godless, murderous, determined, as J. Edgar Hoover says, a criminal conspiracy. I'm choosing these words deliberately. And that's why I say they are lying, dirty, shrewd, godless, murderous, determined, and it is not an American political party like any other. It's an outlawed organization, taking its orders and instructions from another government to do everything possible to destroy our government. It's an international criminal conspiracy.
All right, welcome back. We're going to talk about the flavors. Everyone likes flavors, right? Different ice cream flavors, different spices on your chicken. This, in this case, is the flavor of these resolutions. One of the frustrating things I experienced in doing research was there were two resolutions that I heard were stronger, and I couldn't actually get the wording of them. Tazewell and Buchanan. Both apparently were different, but because of the way government works, I wasn't at those meetings, and as a result, I didn't get the printout. I don't know what was passed, and we'll all find out in about a month when the minutes are posted. But I heard they're really good. In this case, I'm going to kind of go over the generic one the VCDL has been pushing out, and lots of whereases and what fors. So this is a generic resolution where you would just insert your county information and go from there. Whereas the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution reads, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And whereas the United States Supreme Court in District of Columbia versus Heller affirmed an individual's right to possess firearms unconnected with service in a militia for traditionally lawful purposes, such as self-defense within a home. And whereas the United States Supreme Court in McDonald v. Chicago affirm that the right of an individual to keep and bear arms as protected under the Second Amendment is incorporated by the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment against the states, and whereas the United States Supreme Court in United States v. Miller opined that firearms that are part of the ordinary military equipment or within the use that could contribute to the common defense are protected by the Second Amendment. Let me stop right there. All these are great. I agree 100% with these. Is that the government you live under? It's not the government I live under. So it's very interesting. Continuing on, whereas Article 1, Section 13 of the Constitution of Virginia provides that a well-regulated militia composed of the body of the people trained to arms is the proper, natural, and safe defense of a free state, therefore the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And whereas Article 1, Section 1 of the Constitution of Virginia reads that all men are by nature equally free and independent, have certain inherent rights, of which, when they enter into the state of society, they cannot, by any compact, deprive or divest their posterity, namely, the enjoyment of life and liberty, with the means of acquiring and possessing property, and pursuing and obtaining happiness and safety. Article 1, Section 2 of the Constitution of Virginia reads that all power is vested in and consequently derived from the people, that magistrates are their trustees and servants, and at all times amenable to them. In other words, hey, General Assembly, hey, Governor, hey, Attorney General, you work for us. Hey, House of Delegates, you work for us. Hey, Senators, you work for us. Hey, Commonwealth Attorneys, you work for us. Hey, Sheriff, you work for us. Whereas the County Board of Supervisors is concerned about the passage of any bill containing language which could be interpreted as infringing on the rights of the citizens of, insert your county here, to keep and bear arms, and whereas the County Board of Supervisors wishes to express its deep commitment to the rights of citizens of, insert your county, to keep and bear arms, and it goes on, says what we're going to do. We express opposition to any law that would unconstitutionally restrict the rights of citizens. Also, it just goes on and on. I'm not going to keep going on this. You just go ahead and read it. There's a couple I wanted to point here. This is good. Board of Supervisors hereby expresses its intent that public funds of the county not be used to restrict the Second Amendment rights of the citizens of this county or to aid federal or state agencies in the restriction of said rights. and that the Board of Supervisors hereby declares its intent to oppose any infringement on the right of law-abiding citizens to keep and bear arms using such legal means as may be expedient, including, without limitation, court action. So, essentially what they're saying here is, we're not going to use our money, or we have the intent not to use our money, and we're going to fight this with court action. And my response to the court action argument amongst all the people that says, hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to fix this. We're going to vote out these people. All right. Good luck. And second, the court thing. You mean the same court that is the very reason you're having trouble voting them out, because it redistricted and gerrymandered things in such a way that Democrats for the next 200 years will win those districts. That court. But okay, good luck. And I'll also add this to the court action side of things. California, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, Maryland, Colorado, and probably a few I'm forgetting, have all passed terrible laws like the ones Virginia's trying to pass. And you know how many court cases were successful in stopping them? Zero. That's right. How many? Zero. What was that? It was zero. It was zero. None. Nobody has successfully been able to stop them with the courts, because they've rigged the courts through judicial activism and other things. So I kind of don't have a lot of confidence in that. And that's when I look at this, that's the lens at which I'm looking through this. Don't get me wrong. This is an outstanding thing that is happening. If you look at the map of Virginia, where this has happened, that the VCDL has, and I'll also have it in the show notes, it's outstanding. It's incredible. And politics is arguably the art of the possible. Would it be possible to tell them, hey, if you do this, we're going to shoot you in the face? I don't know. I don't think that would have passed 95 counties. Might have passed one or two, but I don't think it would have passed 95. So don't get me wrong. When my complaints about this are not complaints, are very laser-focused complaints. I'll put it that way. Listen to this audio of Carl Eborn from Bedford, Virginia.
I would like to second a couple of people who have brought up the idea of the Bedford County Militia. I think we're in a time in this country and in the Commonwealth of Virginia where the necessity has shown itself. And it's not just about the firearms and the Second Amendment. There are many reasons that a community like Bedford with this kind of a population, I mean, God bless you all, this is just fantastic. We ought to have the militia as an organization in this county where the people of this county can pull together to help each other under any number of different circumstances.
He's right. It'd be a great thing, actually. Been there, done that, tried that. It is extremely hard to organize people without the legitimacy of your local body politic. Extremely hard. Try it. And you know what? I hope it succeeds. I see this stuff happening. It's happening. It's happened before. The previous president, who will not be named, he wins, and suddenly there's all these groups starting militias. You know where it went? Nowhere. And it's unfortunate, because it is constitutional. It is what we should be doing. But we're not. So how about a resolution with some teeth? Here's where I think the VCDL should have gone. And while what they're doing is working to draw attention to issues, I would like to talk about having a mechanism of force. Gun owners of Virginia have created a resolution that would have a mechanism of force. So I'm going to read this one, and I'm going to have to bounce around a little bit towards the end, and I'll get more descriptive. It's quite long. It's twice the length of the other one, but I think it does an amazing job of laying out the case of not only why we can do it, but why we should do it, why we should call up the militia. Recent gun control legislation proposed by the Governor and General Assembly is a direct assault on the right of free and law-abiding citizens to keep and bear arms, which is a right explicitly recognized in the Constitution of the United States and the Commonwealth of Virginia. And these proposals would ban entire classes of firearms, which are particularly useful for the purposes of self-defense and service by the militia of the United States and the Commonwealth of Virginia, and would force tens of thousands of Virginians to choose between abandoning their right under the laws of nature and nature's God, or becoming criminals in the eyes of the state. And ample studies, and the light of human experience, shows that laws to deprive the people of arms, gun control, do not improve public safety, but only disarm and disadvantage the peaceably minded citizens, who are a threat to no one except criminals and tyrants. And beyond a baseless appeal to public safety, the only other reason for depriving the people of arms effective for self-defense is so that immoral laws might be forcibly imposed without effective resistance of last resort. And therefore, those seeking to disarm free citizens must be considered either fools or tyrants with the designs of imposing absolute despotism upon the citizens of the Commonwealth. And the Declaration of Independence clearly states that government exists to secure the rights endowed upon the people by the laws of nature and nature's God, and further states that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it. And if the people have the right and the duty to abolish a tyrannical government by force of arms as a last resort, then they certainly have a right to peacefully resist any unjust law. And likewise, a local government, that closest body of representatives to the people, has a right and a duty to defend the rights of the people it represents from tyrannical, unjust, and unconstitutional law. And just as government should not be overthrown for light and transient causes, the power and authority of the lesser magistrate to interpose between the people and the tyrannical designs of a higher magistrate should only be invoked in the most extreme cases, such as the direct assault on the means necessary to securing the constitutionally protected natural right of self-defense, and when the federal or state government behaves tyrannically, attempts to impose its unconstitutional will on the people of the Commonwealth, and disturbs the public peace by openly manifesting an intent to deprive the citizens of their God-given and natural rights of communal defense and defense of self by outlawing effective arms for these purposes, thereby risking civil disobedience, civil disturbance, and even armed conflict, threatening the liberty and lives of its citizens, it is the right and duty of lesser magistrates, including the county board of supervisors, to impose between such tyranny and the people to whom they are accountable, and it is the right and the duty of free citizens, including their local governments and constitutional officers, to resist obviously illegal and unconstitutional acts of other branches of government. The Board of Supervisors invokes the right, duty, and inherent power of the lesser magistrate to protect the rights of the people by declaring a Second Amendment sanctuary and providing new safeguards for their future security. And the Board of Supervisors recognizes the existence of the militia as set forth in Article 1, Section 13 of the Virginia Constitution and Second Amendment of the United States Constitution, and being composed of the body of the people trained to arms, as further defined in Virginia Code 44-1, as the unorganized militia of the Commonwealth of Virginia, consisting of all able-bodied residents of the Commonwealth who are at least 16 years of age and not more than 55 years of age, and as defined in 10 USCA 246 militia, as all able-bodied males 17 to 45 years of age. The Board of Supervisors recognizes the individual right of self-defense using commonly owned semi-automatic firearms and standard capacity magazines, independent of any service in the organized or unorganized militia of the United States or the Commonwealth of Virginia. And the Board of Supervisors calls upon the sheriff and the Commonwealth's attorney, their deputies and employees, and the people of this county, including those who make up the unorganized militia, as defined in Virginia Code 44-1, to take action consistent herewith and to resist tyrannical attempts to make unlawful certain firearms and components which are necessary for self-defense, militia service, law enforcement, and national defense. It is the sincere hope of this county Board of Supervisors that these provisions will cause the Governor and General Assembly to reflect deeply upon the courses upon which they have embarked, and that they will consider the full ramifications of their pending actions, that they will forever cast away the implements of tyranny and return to the fold of liberty, and that they will return to the wisdom of that first generation of Virginia patriots who founded this great republic, and again embrace their fellow citizens as brothers and sisters in liberty, secure in their rights and their arms. And here's where it gets really good. I mean, this is just outstanding. This is the teeth. This is what we're talking about. This is outstanding. This is exactly what all the stinking boards of supervisors should do. They should tear up the resolutions they passed, and they should put this one in there. The Board of Supervisors hereby notifies volunteers from the county and any other free citizens of the Commonwealth of Virginia to be ready to muster at a location to be determined on a date to be determined by a document that shall constitute the official call for the unorganized militia of this county. The muster shall call for a review of those citizens who make up members of the unorganized militia of the Commonwealth of Virginia who reside in this county. At a minimum, volunteers must be above the age of 18, must possess firearms, must strictly adhere to the official call from this county, and must be willing to muster into service for the protection of their liberties and those of their fellow citizens. The purpose of this muster is to identify those citizens willing to come to the defense of this county and its citizens, and to display to the governor and the General Assembly the potential armed force available to be called forth should circumstances require. It is the intent of this county Board of Supervisors to demonstrate the will and resolve of the people and the government of this county to defend their rights, resist tyranny, and secure for themselves and their posterity those liberties that have been purchased with the blood and treasure of generations of Virginians. Outstanding. Outstanding. And here, it gets even better. So then it goes on and it lists the different things that are for militia service. The County Board of Supervisors hereby enacts County Ordinance Number, and then they give it a number. This is a boilerplate. The Board of Supervisors declares any attempt to arrest or prosecute citizens for firearm violations not in existence prior to January 1st, 2020 as an attempt to violate civil rights under color of law and a violation of Ordinance Number, again. The Board of Supervisors recognizes the particular suitability and fitness of certain firearms for self-defense militia service, including the unorganized militia, law enforcement, and national defense. Such firearms including but not limited to those, the following characteristics shall remain lawful for possession and use by individuals or militia. And here's the best part. If any of you have looked at SB 16, this essentially takes SB 16 and shoves it in here. And everything that the government is attempting to ban is everything that is the best option for militia service. It's unbelievable. It's great. Absolutely perfect. This is exactly the kind of pushback we should be giving them. A slap across their face. Just great. But it's more than just a slap in their face, because it really is... does a great job of laying out why you should have these things, spare parts or combination of parts designed or intended to readily assemble or maintain such firearms in these subsections and magazines holding more than 10 rounds of ammunition. It's just absolutely outstanding. It shall be unlawful for any county, state, or federal government employee, official, or agency to enforce any firearm law which has the purpose or effect of impeding the ability of any member of the unorganized militia or individual person to use a firearm or firearm component set forth for the purposes contemplated by the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. It completely blows them out of the water. You want to talk about getting inside the enemy's OODA loop? This would melt communist brains. They wouldn't know what to do with this. It's so great. This is something that we should be looking at when they move forward with some of these stupid laws and they pass them, and we say, hey, supervisors, what you passed wasn't quite strong enough. How about this? I think this is outstanding. I've heard people say, well, we are the unorganized, we are the militia. Let's just form up. Let's just call a muster. Again, good luck. I wish it would work. I really do. I just don't think it will. I don't think it's going to work because there's an absence of legitimacy. People are so ignorant about how the government works, the political process works, our Constitution works. They don't understand what the necessity is. They don't understand any of this stuff. And they're just starting to come to grips with it. And that's outstanding. We had over 1,000 people showed up in Bedford. It was incredible. That's people starting to wake up to what's going on, but they're still ignorant. And I don't mean stupid. I mean ignorant. Ignorant is not knowing about a subject or a topic. They don't understand. Most people don't know that if you don't control the committees, I mean, rather, you don't control the majority in the House of Delegates or the Senate, you don't control the committees. If you don't control the committees, you control nothing. The reason that they're able to move forward with a lot of these bad laws is because, why? They control everything. They have the governor, the House of Delegates, and the Senate. And unlike Republicans, they seem content on moving their agenda forward. Well, before I continue, I want to talk a little bit about Project Appleseed. My stepdad and my mom have been involved in Appleseed for years, and that was when they were out in California. And they recently moved to Virginia, which is awesome. And they've for years been talking to me about Appleseed. I know several friends that have gone to one of these marksmanship courses that Appleseed puts on. And so for years, I just haven't had the inkling or time. But I think I'm going to go this year. I think I'm going to put that on one of my goals for the year. So I've been starting to look into who they are. Project Appleseed, appleseedinfo.org. You can find that in the show notes. Is run by the Revolutionary War Veterans Association, making better shooters and better citizens. Project Appleseed isn't a gun club or a militia, nor is it a historical society. Instead, we are a nonpartisan group of men and women known as the Revolutionary War Veterans Association, who are committed to upholding the values and principles of America's founding fathers. We use rifle marksmanship instruction as a gateway to help bring our nation's history to life and to show that many of the values that our forefathers relied on to win our independence are still very much in demand today. Through clinics and events, we teach rifle marksmanship and early American heritage to introduce individuals of all skill levels to the knowledge that was so crucial to the success of our nation's founders. Aside from the fun and camaraderie of these events, the design takeaway is a renewed sense of civic responsibility that each attendee can implement in his or her own community. If we can reconnect enough people with the selfless civic virtue of our forefathers, we as a nation will all be better off. Our goal is to create a nation of riflemen. We'd love for you to join us. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to check them out this year. And just looking at their calendar and in the Virginia calendar, there's quite a bit of stuff. And I've heard that if you contact them and you can find a range to do it, there's lots of places. So cost is minimal. It's $65 for an adult and $25 for a person under 18, military, active reserve, guard, law enforcement, disabled reenactors in period dress, and elected officials with proof of ID are $25. And you can also get the Revolutionary War Veterans Association membership for $25. So there you go. It's really affordable. I've led a lot of training, done a lot of training. It's usually expensive. So check out appleseedinfo.org if that's something that might interest you. So continuing on here, are these words on paper? Well, I would say, yes, they are. Militia resolution provides extra protection for Tazewell County residents. But what protection does that provide to the residents of sanctuary counties? Eastern District Representative of the Tazewell County Board of Supervisors, Charles Stacy, says the resolutions are more like a symbol of opposition. It's almost more of a proclamation of what the boards are prepared to do, Stacy says. It's a strong message to our legislators to let them know that we don't want to see any changes in our gun laws, says Tazewell County Sheriff Brian Haight. So, we're seeing county after county doing the same thing and passing similar resolutions to say that we do not want to infringe on our rights to have weapons. Therefore, the resolutions don't provide any legal defense. You can't simply present this in a court and say, Your Honor, I'm not guilty of possessing a firearm that the General Assembly has deemed illegal because my home county passed a Second Amendment sanctuary resolution, Stacy explained. What the resolutions are designed to do is prevent that legislation from even coming out in the Virginia Assembly. by giving the proclamation of the localities to the General Assembly before they vote. Let's listen to what Patriot Nurse on YouTube has to say.
Words on paper. I want you to consider that in an atmosphere of lawlessness, where you have anarchy from the top down, and when you have lawlessness and disregard for the law, the basic rights of citizens, the Constitution, from the top down, they are illegitimate. So when you have legitimate assertions of power, what is the role of government? To protect the rights of the citizens. So when you have these gun sanctuary county movements that are happening, and you've got the sheriffs making statements that they will defend the rights of the citizens against any institution of government that would come against them, we do need to recognize that this is good, this is laudable, and it's way overdue, but it's words on paper, friends. It is no different than a temporary written contract between you and an armed criminal. Criminal meets you in an alleyway. Give me your stuff. You say, oh no, it's not the right thing for us to do here. It's not the right thing for you to take my property. Please sign this contract saying you won't take my property. He may play ball with you for a few minutes, but I want you to consider the frailty of that contract. Criminal who has force, intent, power, and ability writes down, I will not attack you and take your stuff. The second that alleyway becomes clear, what do you think he's going to do with that piece of paper he just signed? Crumple, crumple, crumple. Force is the only thing that preserves our freedoms throughout history. It's the only thing that preserves our rights. Your rights do not exist on paper. Your rights do not exist in the Bill of Rights. Your rights are not safeguarded by any institution other than yourself and your ability to defend it. So, in these gun sanctuary counties, amongst the sheriffs and the law-abiding people who have righteously pushed for these, I salute you and I commend you. But I would submit that that's not where we need to stop. We need to be pushing forward momentum-wise on this.
So you want to know, is it working? Well, Washington Free Beacon had this to say. Virginia Democratic leaders abandoned their gun confiscation proposal Monday following the grassroots outpouring of opposition to gun control across the state. Governor Ralph Northam and incoming Senate Majority Leader Dick Sasslaw. I didn't know he was the majority Senate leader. That's going to be terrible. That guy's a real bozo. Ugh. Said they will no longer pursue their marquee plan to ban the possession of assault weapons. Instead, they will include a provision to allow Virginians to keep their firearms they already own. The reversal comes before the newly elected Democratic majority has even been sworn in, after a majority of the state's counties declared themselves Second Amendment sanctuaries. In this case, the governor's assault weapons ban will include a grandfather clause for individuals who already own assault weapons, with the requirement they register their weapons before the end of the designated grace period. Northam spokeswoman said. Ha! Let me tell you something about these registration schemes. California did this, and you know what they did later? They banned most of these guns. So then they said, well, you can have it, but you can only have it if it's this kind of an AR. Or you can have it, but it's got to have this special weird magazine button thing. It was so stupid. So we're looking at this thinking, oh, good. Yay. They're backing down. Don't be so sure. I believe that this is the political rope-a-dope. They had this intended the whole darn time. That they didn't think that this would get such a backlash. However, they had always intended to put something really wacky. I mean, over the top nuts out there. They thought, hey, maybe it'll pass. If it doesn't, we can roll back and say, hey, well, okay, we'll compromise. You can keep them, but you have to have them registered. So here's what you got to ask yourself. Should we have any infringements on our liberty? And this law, SB 16 or SB 16 Lite, is not the only bad law they're proposing. So the answer is no. I won't register. I'm not going to comply. I'm not playing this game anymore. No, you can't have my guns. And I'm not going to register. I'm not going to tell you what I have. You know what? I already registered them when I bought it through the stupid gun dealer and had to go through the state police background check system. So don't give me that garbage. I'm not playing this game anymore. Oh, you're going to like this one. This is our wonderful Attorney General, Mark Herring. Mark Red Herring. Red Herring. Get it?
Juan Attorney General Mark Herring says these resolutions don't hold any legal weight. He says they're simply expressions of opposition to stricter gun laws being proposed in the upcoming General Assembly session. And if those laws are passed, he says he expects them to be followed by all Virginians.
These resolutions have no legal effect whatsoever. It's really the gun lobby trying to scare a lot of people.
Attorney General Mark Herring weighing in on the growing number of Second Amendment sanctuary cities and counties in the Commonwealth. The localities that have passed these resolutions say they will essentially ignore any new state gun laws. The movement has spread since Virginia flipped blue in November's election, with plans to propose stricter gun laws in January.
When the General Assembly passes it, those laws are going to be enforced and they will be followed.
But what if Second Amendment sanctuary cities and counties choose not to enforce new state gun laws?
I don't think that's going to happen. These laws, when they get passed, they're going to be followed. And when you look at the resolutions that are being passed, they're really just expressions of opposition to these gun safety measures that Virginians have demanded for a long time.
Herring says he does not see that happening.
So here's what he had to say, as you heard.
These resolutions are simply expressions of opposition is what I'm telling you, news people. These resolutions have no legal effect whatsoever. It's really the gun lobby trying to scare lots of people. When the General Assembly passes it in the upcoming session, those laws are going to be enforced, and they will be followed. When you look at the resolutions that are being passed, they're really just expressions of opposition to these gun safety measures that Virginians have demanded for so long. And if you don't follow them, we send you to the gulag.
And here's the best part. The Democrats are famous at virtue signaling. They're famous at saying one thing that signals really what they believe and say. And boy, they just stepped in it this week. So here's what happened. A congressman in the United States Congress basically floated the idea, well, you know what? The governor can just call up the National Guard and enforce these gun laws. Basically saying, you dumb hillbilly Virginia hicks, we're not going to tolerate this. We're going to take your guns. Which is funny because they're always saying, we're not going to take your guns while they're taking our guns. They're always saying, oh, we're not being tyrannical while they're being tyrannical. And this actually feeds that. We'll just send the National Guard in. We'll just take your guns. I know no less than 20 Guard members, and not a one of them would do this. Not a one. They would cross right over the line and go to jail with the rest of us. There's no way on earth these guys are going to do any of that junk. And those 20 that I've talked to and that I regularly converse with, they know 20 themselves that aren't going anywhere near this. No way, no how. Not going to happen. So despite what the arrogant toady of the king wannabe Ralph Northam wants you to do what you're told, you petulant child, how dare you disagree with him? How dare you talk back? How dare you rebel? Shut up and do as you're told or else. Well, no, we're not going to do what we're told. We don't like you. We don't care what you think. So no, not going to happen. So looking back, what does it all mean? Well, I think it's going to continue to develop, and I think it's going to continue to get fun. So I'll say this. Train some more. Great time to buy lots of things. Palmetto State Army's always got some deals. Ammo's cheap. You should buy some. Buy lots. I'm not worried about the ability to get it. Tennessee and West Virginia aren't far away. What's your call to action? You need to get to Richmond. You need to get to Richmond on January 20th. January 20th is lobby day. I don't want any more stupid excuses. Every darn year I go up there and I get stupid excuses from people why they can't make it. They can't take one day off of work to go up and lobby for their rights. They can't be bothered to do it. Well, here's where we are because of that. That same lackluster, wimpy attitude and nonsense is the exact reason we have these people who have been elected and are acting as tyrants and kings over us. We are sovereigns. We are. Not sovereign citizens, sovereigns. I'm saying we are the king. They are our representatives. And if you don't get up to Richmond on lobby day January 20th, 2020. And you better get there early, because I think this is going to be the most crowded, busy lobby day ever. But you need to get up there. Don't let that stop you from getting up there. Let me tell you the way lobby day works, okay? The way it works is you go up to Richmond and you group up and you wander around the halls and you mostly talk to their aides. And the reason you mostly talk to their aides, and don't get mad about this, you can get a little frustrated, but don't get mad. They're actually in committee meetings and in the legislative body, politic, you know, giving speeches and all that stuff all day long. And they have very tiny windows of free time. So they're not just hanging out in their offices, picking their noses. They're off doing stuff. And that's why you don't see them. But you'll talk to their aides, you talk to their secretaries, and you'll be able to drop off information. If you've never done that, I highly recommend you do that. The second thing is, if you go inside, go to a committee meeting. You should absolutely go to a committee meeting. You see how that process works. And that's why it's so important that we control those legislative bodies, because that control means we control those committees. But go and see how that works. And then, of course, come to the rally. Maybe go sit in on the actual legislature when they're doing the speechifying. But I'm not going to be going in this year. If you have a concealed carry permit, you can carry inside. So go ahead and do that. If you're like me, I have a knife everywhere I go. That was a little tricky. That's a little question mark whether or not that's allowed. I just clipped it on the inside of my waistband, right where my belt buckle was. And I had the gun on my hip, and they wanted me. And it was like, guys, you know, they're really looking for, I don't know what they're looking for, frankly, because they do all this silly stuff, but I guess they're looking for grenades, or I don't know, because I already have a permit. So, okay. If you want to do that, you want to walk in, you want to go in, go ahead and do that. It is worth doing. There is a Facebook event that Virginia Citizens Defense League VCDL has. That's the best place to go. There is a couple other things starting to pop up. Militia muster at the Capitol kind of stuff that's popping up. I'm seeing places. Some other people are kind of hijacking the rally activities. The only people that will be there as a coordinated group and have a permit will be the VCDL. Everyone else will just be coming for that. One of the benefits to that is they can get the state police to shoo off the counter-protesters, because we're the only ones that got a permit. So these other groups that are thinking they're going to come in and do something, I don't know what they're thinking, because, you know, they don't have a permit. But aside from that, I'm not going to go. I'm going, but I'm going to be kitted up. I'm going to have my AR over my back, and I'm not going to go inside this year. Why bother? I mean, I think if you haven't done it, you absolutely should do it to see how the process works. But these communists haven't listened to me or anything I've ever had to say in the 10 years that I've been going up there. You know, I think that when you look at it, let's break it down. What it comes down to is, I believe that as much as I love the VCDL and really respect Philip Van Cleve, I think that they, as an organization, and he, are playing a different game than they realize that they're on the field to play. And what I mean is, think of it like this. You got a team that showed up and they're practicing, they're kicking around a soccer ball, and the other team shows up and they look a little different, and the ball they carry is different. That's weird. I wonder why that is. Huh. Oh, well, hey, y'all ready to play? And they look at you like you're crazy and go, okay. And you start to play the game, and suddenly there's a bunch of people jumping on top of you. And you're like, wait a minute, I thought this was soccer. And they're like, no, it's rugby. So, hey, you got to play the game you're on the field to play. And if you think that we're playing a game with incrementalists and the hidden communists, nope. That's the game we were playing. We're not playing that game anymore. We're playing a new one. I think that's a problem. And it's a problem for all of us, but especially a problem for organizations like VCDL and others who have always had kind of this book they play by. Well, that they just totally change the rules, and you're not even playing on the same field anymore. Totally different game. So, something to think about. Well, friends, that concludes this episode of Radio Free Virginia. Once again, I'm your host, Hank Reardon. Check us out on the web. If you want to check out our show notes, it's at radiofreeva.com. And you can also find us on Facebook. Just search up Radio Free Virginia. I'd like to invite you to come back next week as we discuss SB 16 and other companion-related bills, but specifically SB 16 and the mess that it is. We're going to talk about that. I'd like to say thank you for listening. Tell your friends, God bless you.